Alright guys, welcome to the show. This is Into the Apocalypse. I think this might be our 150th episode in the Never Gets Red-Pilled pod sphere. So congrats to us. It's podcast has been going for 2 years, guys. That's pretty good. 150 episodes, 75 episodes a year. It's about 1.5 a week, something like that. That's good numbers. I'm proud of myself. I'm glad everybody's still here along for the ride. Guys, we're a value for value production. We've given you 150 episodes. Give us some value back. If everybody gave $1 per episode, we would be thrilled. Other than that, no executive producers or associate producers for this time, but we'll see, maybe in the future. But yeah, guys, it is September 7th, 2022. It's a nice day out here in Oregon. Yesterday, the skies were as clear as I'd ever seen them. Monday, Labor Day, I went into Portland. Clear skies, and there was chemtrails, single long chemtrails all over the place. Not a cloud in sight, but tons of chemtrails. Nothing yesterday where I was at. It was the bluest I'd seen the sky all summer. Not a cloud in the sky. Didn't see anybody spraying. And then today, it's blue with a heavy cloud cover, but it's a nice time of year. It's pretty warm. I've been picking blackberries nonstop. I'm trying to get at least 3 or 4 pounds a day, and I'm freezing them to use all year long. I made some kvass with blackberries. It was fantastic. It took barely 2 days to really, really ferment, and then once it fermented, I bottled it, and I just had a feeling. I had some kvass explode on me from secondary fermentation taking too long, or leaving it in there for too long. Blackberry kvass, I let it go for less than, I think, 12 hours, and it was fully carbonated and right on the hairy edge of about to explode. It did that thing where it really foams and just like slowly creeps out, but didn't explode on me. So if I'd let it go another few hours, it would have been a disaster. But yeah, it's pretty cool to make that out of stuff that we get on our property. You know, blackberry bushes are pretty invasive, but they are definitely not as bad as the other invasive stuff because I love blackberries and we're getting tons of it. I can go out there with a bucket and just go for it. Get my hands all torn up. I got stung by a bee last Saturday while I was doing it. Really puffed my hand up a little bit, but it was well worth it. One bee sting for like 20 pounds of berries I've gotten so far. So yeah, I'm pretty happy about it. I've been trimming them back. I pick them all until they're gone, and then I use my clippers and trim them back. I think I'm going to go out to the secondary pasture and do the same thing, but to go out there with a tractor and then just start taking them out with the tractor after I'm done picking. So we'll see. Who knows? But yeah. What else is going on, guys? Yeah, getting some good emails, getting some good show ideas. I got a bunch of stuff on the books. I've got some stuff going on. Just Deborah and I. I've got stuff going on. Just Chud and I. And hopefully it goes off well. I'm really struggling to get Deborah involved. I've got to figure out a way to do it. I think having fewer guests on, just her and I, is a way that she'll have to talk. I toyed around with the idea of getting a guest on and then just turning my camera off and making her talk to the guest. And I told my wife about it. My wife got really mad at me, said not to do that. But yeah, it's really frustrating on these shows where I know Deborah has questions and wants to talk, and it's like when you were a little kid and your parents asked you what what you did at school, and you just say, oh, I don't, nothing. So, but I think we got some good ones coming up, and I've got some good guests. And she said she wanted to do some child psychology stuff. She didn't make it any more specific than that, so I narrowed it down, and I've got some stuff that's gonna kind of touch on those areas. I think if we could do stuff on like child psychology as what happened to children during the lockdown, I think that would be a great topic. And how damaged a lot of these kids are going to be. Hopefully, not the kids of the children, the kids of the parents who listen to this show. Hopefully, you treated your kids somewhat normally during the lockdown, didn't make them wear a mask unless it was 100% required and necessary to do something. Yeah, I think this past 2 years has really, really, messed up society. I don't know if anybody else listened to Charlie Robinson's episode of Macroaggression. It's called "Where Did All the People Go?" It's scary. He gets into the Deagle Report again, the massive projections of depopulation that military industrial complex company made. I think in 2000, I can't remember what year, maybe 2017, but maybe earlier than that. But they have the population of the United States somewhere around 100 million people, 90 million people in 2025. Absolutely terrifying. Who knows if that's real? The countries that didn't seem to suffer massive depopulation were the many African countries, many Asian countries such as Malaysia. And they were the countries that didn't have widespread vaccination rollout. So let's see, maybe, I mean, you could be happy for those people, but I think they didn't give those people the stuff so that they can have slaves. Who knows? They're also the countries that have massive mineral deposits that are needed to build batteries for electric cars and other things like that. You know, terrifying, informative. Charlie was just on my friend Buck Johnson's show, Counterflow, last night, and that was a fantastic episode. I really enjoyed it. I love those two guys. I think they're great together. And it's good. I love it anytime that there can be crossover between the liberty-minded shows and the conspiracy world. Chedex, are you there?
I am here.
Cool, man. I've just been going for a few minutes. How's it going up there?
It's going good. I mean, I'm gonna get my ass handed to me today with just a lot to do before going back to work tomorrow.
Great shirt
But
you're wearing there.
yeah, I got it from Pretty Cool Dude.
I got this one on.
Sweet.
I got the wizard. Chad's wearing the OBDM Goblin shirt that I got for him when I was the grand champion of the OBDM merch giveaway contest. And I'm wearing the wizard and Tyrannosaurus Rex, both make-believe things. Shirt that I
And
want.
you've got a G.I. Joe, well, not a G.I. Joe name, but you got an OBDM name now, right?
Yeah, I got an OBDM GI Joe handle, Footloose.
Footloose. Oh, that is G.I. Joe. Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah, you know,
Footloose.
you kind of bothered me. I listened to you when you got that name.
Yeah.
And you said that was one of John Lit that was John Lithgow's best movie or something like that. And I was going, dude, are you forgetting Harry and the Hendersons?
Yeah, I like Footloose better than Harry and the Hendersons. There's also a couple other good John Lithgow movies. He's an underrated guy. There's a movie with Denzel Washington with him from the 90s where he was like a psychopath in prison or something like that. I'll have to look into that. But yeah, they gave me the options of Footloose. I think they were going to give me Mike initially wanted to give me Lady J or Lady Jane.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I wasn't a Footloose, or I was a Footloose fan. I wasn't a G.I. Joe fan when I was a little kid. I didn't really get into that cartoon, so
Yeah. It was my favorite. For a
really,
period of time. Yeah. It came on like 3 minutes or 5 minutes before I got in the door every day from the school bus. So it was like the first thing was grab a scoop of peanut butter and turn on G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I used to get home because my first kindergarten was half day. I went to kindergarten twice. The first year was half day. So I'd come home. I was friends with the bus driver, this guy, Leroy. And you can imagine what he looked like, probably. I became friends with him. So he would bypass my bus stop and drop me off at home, right in front of the house. So I'd go in. My mom be sitting there. She'd be watching Perry Mason on the little kitchen TV. Mm-hmm. That was her favorite show. And she would make me peanut butter and honey with like the Subi whipped honey butter, you know? That stuff that came in like a crock, you know, or like in a plastic, you know, tub.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go up to the TV room and I think I would have to make it through the rest of a Perry Mason episode and then through an episode of Gilligan's Island before cartoons came on.
Uh-huh.
So.
What was your favorite cartoon of that time?
What are we talking? We talking Saturday morning? We talking after school?
Take a pick.
I love Scooby-Doo. The original Scooby-Doos were great.
Mm-hmm.
I like Pink Panther.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of Saturday morning cartoons that I like. That's crazy that kids won't ever know the joy of like waking up at six, like taking a jug of milk and a bowl and a box of cereal to the TV room and just like having 3 hours to yourself before your parents wake up, you know?
Well, they do, but it's not a limited time thing. They don't have to do that now because that's your one opportunity. They have 24 hour, anytime, any place kind of, you know, so.
That's why it's not magical.
Yeah, that's what made that kind of magical. And we didn't act on Canadian TV. We didn't have Saturday morning cartoons. It wasn't a thing.
Man, you're
Saturday morning, there wasn't.
85% Canadian, pretty much.
I know, because of my TV. But they were Sunday morning cartoons instead. And those went all the way from like 6 a.m. until noon.
That's because they didn't have to broadcast football on Sundays.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're big. You tell me, I think hockey night in Canada is like Wednesday.
Yeah. It's Thursdays is what stands out to me, but I'm not on it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a bunch of stuff to watch. Oh, our guest's here. Maybe we should just let him in.
Sure.
Let's
find out what his favorite cartoon was.
Yeah. He's connected audio.
It's happening.
Sean.
I see him. Audio is connected.
What's going on, bro?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, man. What was your favorite Saturday morning cartoon?
Man, I'm probably going to have to go with, I don't know I think it was Saturday morning, but it would have to be, what's it called? Was it Silverhawks? I think it was Silverhawks.
I don't know that one.
Neither do I.
I guess if I go ABC, I'll go Disney. I guess Darkwing Duck.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Afternoons.
I'm much older than you, so I would have been a DuckTales guy in the after school.
Oh, I could mess with DuckTales.
Yeah, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 43.
I'm not too bad. I'm 39. I'm right down the trail, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What's going on, man?
All the passed down cartoons.
Yeah. Sean Chris is here from Kill the Mockingbirds podcast. What's going on, bro? We're happy to have you here.
Man, same, man. You know, just chilling, man, doing the work thing and then like doing the podcast. You know, like we're all doing, you know. Yeah. We do the day job and then we come to do the late night after hours talk, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Conspiracies after hours. Yeah.
After hours.
Yeah, I was getting caught up on your show today. Really enjoyed it. I listened to the Testimony episode, which was awesome. I listened to the one with Charlie Robinson, who's a good friend of our show, and I was listening to your Underground Chicago episode.
Oh, with Cryptids of the Corn. Yeah, they're cool dudes, man. Cool dudes.
Yeah, yeah. Will you tell everybody a little bit about your show and we'll get going?
Yeah, basically our show is me. I'm one half of the Kill the Mockingbirds and the other half is Joel Thomas. And pretty much we're just news, paranormal, and conspiracies, kind of like breaking it all down. We do a little mix of all. And some weeks we'll just break down propaganda. Some weeks we'll have a guest on talking about a certain subject, whether it's a cryptid, whether it's like portals, or we'll just go down for the classic government conspiracies.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I enjoy it. And I enjoy the conversations that you have with people. A lot of just free-flown stuff, not too many topics in there, specific topics. We try to do that sometimes, and sometimes it makes the show hard to like drag out for an hour and a half if it's just one thing. So I got a question for you, man. Listening What's to up? Your show, are you No Agenda guy?
All day, man. Are you kidding me?
I can tell, man. In the morning.
That's who. That's in the morning.
Yeah.
That's like that's why I'm always promoting podcasting 2.0, and you know what I mean. I'm not a knight yet, but I will eventually be a knight. You know what I mean? My thing. I was like, I'm gonna do instant $1,000 as soon as I make my first dollar off podcast. Like as soon as I make my first $1,000.
Yeah.
Boom. Because that's who kind of really helped me out a lot, man. They have such a great network and such a phenomenal idea of what they did. It's hard to get people on that sale. You know what I mean? They're like, value for value. They're like, I don't know, man.
I know. Yeah. It works. We've never taken a dollar from an advertiser. And the reason for that is because no one's ever offered. But, you know, we do get some value for value donations here and there. And it's really nice to see. It's so cool. I remember when I got like my first one ever, you know, I can't remember how many episodes in, but to get a donation through PayPal or something like that. Yeah. I've got $800 to go to be a knight.
Nice.
But I don't work anymore. I stay home on our farm and just work here. So if like my wife saw an $800 charge to John C. Dvorak, I don't think she'd be too stoked with me. But
yeah, you're like, whoa, in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but that's what's cool about it. And they kind of like, you know, it's a good I think they kind of showed me how you have to have a dynamic, right? You can't have, you know, you have to have the kind of like, you know, more rosy eyed, more laid back guy that's like, nah, you know, a little bit talk about conspiracies. Then you have to have a little bit of the guy that's like, I don't know, man. Like he's skeptic about everything. It balances it all out. I think you have to have that. And we try to do that on our show a little bit. Some stuff we agree on, but I think it's good conversation to have conversations with people you disagree with. When you disagree with them, I always try to offer people on the show like, man, if you don't agree with me, let's hop on. You know, usually people are especially in comments, you know, nobody says anything relevant in comments, or like I'm like, dude, I am not reading that. Like, you know what I mean? Like you just made it like three pages. I was like, let's just go on a live. You know what I mean? Where we could just have a real conversation, like if we're anywhere. And a lot of people turn it down though. I've offered plenty of people. I go, man, I get it. Maybe I'm not getting my point across to you, right? You know what I mean? You can see that I'm not angry. You know, when they're like, oh, you're all angry. And I'm thinking like, dude, I'm like cracking up right over here, but you just like commenting back and forth. But you know, but people don't want to have that conversation. I think people are scared.
Yeah, it's hard on both ends. You know, I don't have as many conversations with people that I disagree with as much as I should. And I really look up to the podcasters that can do it. Like I always say, Ryan Dean's really good at having polite discourse with somebody. Our buddy Billy Ray Valentine's the one who showed me how to do it from the get-go. And I was listening to Jack Allen from Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence last night. And he was talking, he's like a Christian, I don't know what he calls himself politically, and he was talking to some like communist dude yesterday and having like a good conversation with him. And they like came to the end and were like, hey, you know, we want the same things. We just disagree on how to get there. I'm glad I got to talk to you, you know, and it's like really refreshing when people can actually do that, because that's gone these days, you know?
Yeah, people want to get vile right away, or they'll, I mean, like I'm all for cracking jokes, man. I used to be a battle rapper, so I'm like all day for, but I kind of like backed off a lot of that because I think that's how I got my last page nuked, because I'll light people up in the comments and just go back. And like, and then they're like, you can't say that. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So you're out there in Michigan, man. How's it out there?
It's nice right now, honestly, because, you know, we're right before winter. So, and right after summer, last weekend was a little hot. I'm originally from California, so Southern California. So to me, 88 is not that hot. It was kind of warm. I was at the game. I went to the Michigan game, but you know, it's pretty good. It depends on, you know, what sectors you're in, but I mean, pretty much everybody's good out here. There's not, any food shortages, or there's not any, like, obviously the grid is not stable like a lot of places, but for most part, people are pretty there's a lot of self-reliant areas out here, so it's really good. And you can unite with a lot of people that are building and trying to, like, do everything on their own without any grocery stores or corporations. So there's a lot of people to work with, so I think it's good out here.
Yeah, it's cool. I heard you talking about how you've got a meat guy now, and you got a vegetable guy now and stuff. That's good to hear, because Chud and I both homestead.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, I've got I've got a couple half cows in the basement. I know he does too. I bought a pig last year, and you know, he's doing better on the vegetable front than me. I didn't get anything in the ground this year, but it was cool. He came down to my house about a month ago, and we made 30 pounds of sausage, and
yeah,
it was cool, man.
And nothing like that fresh bacon, man. Like, man, my brother got a pig. He gave me half of one, and he got a whole one. And man, that bacon, man. I'm telling you, man, that was like the best bacon I had. I was like, man, there's no other.
Yeah, it's hard to go back. Like, we've got chickens and stuff, and I can't go out and eat at like a breakfast restaurant anymore. It's
yeah, just,
like, tastes like garbage. So
yeah, we recently, well, we just slaughtered some more, but we recently processed a whole bunch of meat birds. And I didn't realize it till I started eating them that I had fallen out of love with eating chicken. Like, I didn't like it. I didn't like it for like years. Yeah. And suddenly, but I wouldn't have said that. Yeah. I wouldn't have said, no, I don't like chicken anymore. But it was kind of like, it was a last choice of something to buy. And then I started eating the stuff that we raised, and I was just like, oh, this is what I love. This is good food. This is real food, you know, like, just the texture, the flavor, everything, you know. It's amazing, the difference.
Oh, for by far, man. And then that's what I'm trying to do too. Like, I don't know about the chickens and all that yet, but for sure next year, we're already kind of set everything up for like a little garden. You know, we got the winter out here. I might get like something like indoor, you know what I mean? Like a little, just to get used to it. And me and my brother are both going to do it in our, so we can reverse. He'll do three vegetables one year, I'll do the other three, and we'll flip.
Yeah,
we'll keep flipping back and forth, so that way we can constantly keep growing something new, you know what I mean, and not like kill the soil completely.
Yeah, aside from soil, I mean, that's really good for your soil. Everyone seems to know that nowadays, but it's also good for your own skill to practice on different stuff, to do different things. If you get really good at growing corn, and you just grow corn, and you only grow corn, then you're going to be a great corn farmer who's destroying your soil, we might know.
Yeah.
But also you're not going to know what to do if you put a tomato in the ground, you know? So it's good just to be versatile and learn as much as you can.
Yeah, I think that's the best way.
Yeah, if everybody in the neighborhood grows something different too, and you can all just share with what you got, that's communism, I guess, but that's some good commie shit.
It's only communism if you're forced to put it all in the pot.
I guess so,
If you give it all up and then say, this is the communities or whatever, that would be, you know, and you're forced to do that. That would be communism. If everybody's just, if it naturally, you know, if it naturally settles out that this guy's good at growing potatoes and this guy's good at growing beets and then, you know, that's beautiful.
Why is it voluntarism or something like that?
Yeah, voluntarism.
Voluntarily, like, give in. You know what I mean? I think that's a good point you bring up, because I think I was listening to James Corbett. I love James Corbett. It's another guy I follow a lot of. And he was talking about communism and how people, like, don't know how to, like, you know, strategically go about, like, talking about free market stuff, right? Like, me personally, I don't even say capitalist anymore. I'm a free market guy. You know what I mean? Like, capitalist has that bad stain on it. Like, it's like, no, but I'm about the free market. Like, we don't need a name for it. You know what I mean? And then, like, communism, it's like, people think if you just give anything, you know, like how we were saying, like, oh yeah, if you do that, that's communism. But what you said is the perfect point. No, but if we voluntarily, I can't even say the word. If we volunteer our service and say, hey, I'm willing to give you an hour of my service, or I'm willing to trade some of my goods, that's us making that decision, which makes it not communist. It's okay to be a good person and help out, but you shouldn't be forced to give something of yours. And that's the point of communism.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible when you're forced to do so at the end of the gun, but it's a beautiful thing when it spontaneously happens, when your group of friends Like take it out of like growing food and say like on a podcast, like we were talking at the beginning, if you have one person who's good at this point and this person's good at this point, you have a third and a fourth person who are good at other points and it spontaneously comes together, then you have a genuine, wonderful conversation. But if everyone's forced to like, we're not doing this podcast unless we all agree that the government's evil or whatever your point is that you want to talk about, then that's not going to be. I mean, it's just a bunch of people. It's just a circle jerk at that point. It's not as interesting, but yeah, when it all comes together spontaneously, that's where the beauty is found.
Definitely. I agree, man. Like, and I think there is a lot of that beauty that people will find if you allow people just to live, right? And to actually, cause so many people are dependent and they're not even realizing how they're dependent. Even me, like I'm not even trying to talk down to anybody. Like I'm the same way. Like I had to go away from Walmart and Amazon. Like, and it's still, sometimes you still, cause if you live in the city, right. But you can, it's like almost like being a drug addict, right? You got to rewire your brain. You got to be like, hey, no, my money is not going to go to that Walmart. That's going to the corporation, which is going through everywhere. I want to go to the small store over here that's paying taxes in my city. So at least, even though I don't believe in taxes, at least I know the money that's going to that business is going back into the city. Or a county that I'm in. If I'm going to Walmart, it's going to distribute all over. Like little bits will go there, but they're going to go to their corporation, which have all kinds of different accounts. Plus, not to mention, they're going to kill everything. And it's great prices, but then everything's from China. We don't build anything. And we're still in that same trap. And I think that little by little, some of us are just going to keep changing our lifestyles and it will eventually change. And I think that we will be the majority eventually of people that are like, I'm out, I'm opting out. I think that what they want to do and people see, a lot of people see it, even people that could say a normie or a far right, a far left, like they all kind of know, you know what I mean? They try to put the boogeyman cover on people and be like, oh, this guy's the bad guy. These guys are kind of bad, but this one's really, really, really bad. And you're like, all right, but they're all piece of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Is it all right if I cuss? I don't know. I should ask.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Hey, go all right.
Because cool. Sometimes you'll be like, fuck. And they're like, eh. You know, you're like, oh,
slow down. Slow down, buddy.
And I was like, man, that's just my normal adjective. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that it is going to change. Really, I think there's a lot of people. I know that it's kind of like weird. Sometimes a lot of people call me doomer because I don't sign up for the whole Q or Trump thing. And they're like, oh, you're a doomer. I'm like, all I'm saying is you got to do it yourself.
What, I don't know who's, because you don't believe in a savior coming.
Yeah, you got to do it yourself. That's what people say. And I'm like, dude, I'm not even saying, I'm like, I'm happy every day. And I'm just telling you, if you want to be happy, the happier I get is the more I do on my own. The more I build myself, building a podcast, that's a little rewarding. Now we're at the part where like, okay, now we got kind of the podcast. We got our feet in the water. Now we want to build bigger. And then if that gets to a point where we're like, oh, this is great. Now, if I'm bored of it, then I'm going to go and build something else. You know what I mean? Constantly build and make yourself feel better about life and not just be like, oh, because everybody knows if you get something, you're not going to. I know four people that inherited $100,000. They all lost the money within a year. All of them. And yeah. They didn't invest in anything. They bought the stupidest stuff. Like,
what did they buy?
A bunch of clothes. The one thing he did kind of do is he's smart. He paid rent for a year and he bought a car. So I was like, all right. But then the rest was up the nose. You know what I mean? Jesus,
man. If I 100, you know what I could do with $100,000, man.
Telling me, man. But that's the mindset but that's why we're never going to get that, right?
Yeah.
Because we're going to earn it. Like we're going to earn it. No one's going to give it to us. And that's right. We're going to earn $100,000 or more. And we're going to actually earn more than that $100,000. And we're going to keep being able to double it because not only as we've worked, we've built networks as well. So when we get to that money, we will know what to invest, where to invest, who to invest in. And I think that is what life is about, connecting with people, building a network and building something of your own to where you can feel accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also, you have more respect for the money that you earn than something that's just handed to you. If it's handed to you, it's just there. So yeah, you're gonna spend it. When it slowly comes in because you've been working at it, then you see this as a return that you can reinvest and continue building because it's something you really care about. It's something you are growing. You know, I mean, I could even, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking, you know, it's similar to raising your own animals. It's like you put this into it and it comes back to you. And once you eat it, it means so much more to you than something that you just go pick up, you know, especially if it's with free money, if it's on food stamps or welfare, you know, it's just, oh, this is what I have to ingest because, you know, I need to stay alive.
Yeah, it's a whole different feeling than actually going, man, from egg to chicken, from seed to, you know, sprout and everything. You're like, man, I did that. Or whether it's building, it could be anything. Like you said, it doesn't have to be necessarily like actually literally built, putting nail to wood. You know what I mean? But yeah, there's all kinds of things that we can build within our lives that can give us so much more meaning that we understand. Like, I think hunting a lot. I don't go hunting. I haven't gone yet. But a lot of people out here hunt. And that's what they say, man. It feels that's one of the great meals, you know, and plus it feeds them for a long time. You get an 8-point or something, especially those people in Alaska or Canada. You get a moose, man. You're like, man, you're real good.
Yeah, they have elk out here. I think it's elk rifle season right now. I might go buy a tag just in case one of them walks onto my property. But yeah, I have animals here. You know, I have 8 sheep. Oh, and nice. I just got 2 little 4-month-old pigs, and it's going to take 22 months to get pork from one of those pigs. Those pigs have to breed, and then I have to wait. No. So I have to wait until, so I have to, those pigs have to breed. They are pregnant for 3 weeks. 3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days. Ding, 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 ding. And then
three.
Yeah. So, okay. So here, I'll break it down. I gotta wait 4 more months until my pigs breed. So then 3 more months or 4 more months after that, they'll give birth. So that's 8 months. And then I gotta wait 18 months until those pigs that they had, I can slaughter and eat. So that's 2 years I gotta wait from now. So that's gonna be some good that pork's
gonna money
be,
in the bank.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So
yeah,
but yeah, I like your idea of voluntarism and free market stuff. So many people talk about capitalism, especially where I'm at in Oregon, and are against it, and there's been no free market capitalism ever in the history of the United States. So
yeah, yeah, I stood on that name for a long time. I'm a capitalist. I'm an anarcho capitalist.
I'm an ANCAP.
Yeah, yeah, I'm same, an ANCAP. Yeah. Capitalism, and I would
still say it sometimes, to be honest.
Oh yeah, I still do too, because I'm pro capitalism. Unfortunately, most of the time that I use that word, nobody actually knows what the fuck I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it was not long before I met Adam that I said, you know what, I'm done with that word. Like, not that it doesn't still mean what it's always meant. Well, maybe not always, but once I started reading Rothbard and getting, you know, deeper into this stuff, it's like I came to understand what capitalism really is. And then here I was, like, always blowing wind about capitalism. And I suddenly realized no one has ever known what the fuck I'm talking about. Yeah. they're going, oh, that guy's just pro Walmart or whatever, you know, like it's so different than what people think of. And, you know, fuck the word. It doesn't matter, because if people are misunderstanding my position when I say I'm a capitalist, then I'm just confusing people, and I'm not doing a good job of telling people what I'm about.
Got to change the argument. I'm trying to, like, tell a lot of people that I've talked to a lot of people on the right and the left, because I'm a lot similar, because people are very surprised sometimes on like my stance on things. Like, and I'm like, well, should have listened to the podcast, man. I don't know what to tell you.
have you seen the new HBO documentary, The Anarchists?
No, I have not.
It's pretty good, man. It's like a 4 or 5 part documentary series on Amazon about Anarchapulco. And are you familiar with that?
A little bit, Charlie
Robinson talks about it all the time. It's this big, like, anarchist convention in Acapulco, Mexico.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And like a bunch of people, like Chud and I have talked about the freedom movement on this show a lot. We were both pretty involved with it, and we have some critiques of it, and mostly revolves around hippies twirling around in fields and, like, saying that they're anarcho-capitalists, you know, like a lot of people that don't get after it, don't get busy, don't, like, go buy chickens, and you know, just travel around in a van on their parents' money, and, like, you know.
And, living in Ancapistan in their heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This documentary captures our critique of the freedom movement brilliantly. Like, it's just this it follows Jeff Berwick a lot, and I don't really feel that comfortable like saying too many bad things about him because he's friends with Charlie and I like Charlie. Yeah. But that guy's the cringiest douchebag I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's really, really bad. At some point, he's like, in this documentary, he's fighting. He's like karate fight. He gets in a fight at Anarchapulco with some like esoteric, like spiritual hippie guru that like knows martial arts. It's like the gayest fight I've ever seen in my life. He gets beat up by the guy. And then all these hippies like are dealing coke and get a couple of them get murdered by the cartel because they're trying to deal coke in Mexico.
And Lily Forrester's.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, they're okay. I don't know, maybe some people might disagree with my narrative on the whole thing, but like they say that they weren't selling coke, and like there's no way that they weren't selling coke. They're selling coke to all these people at the convention and stuff like that. And just like doing dumb shit. Doing like, I know how it is, because I was like a white kid in my 20s in Oakland, and like we got up to like a lot of dumb shit, and it was super sketchy and like lots of fun, but like we were in some really bad spots a couple of times, you know, and like didn't even realize it until I was like 10 years older. Like, oh, that was retarded to like blackout down in West Oakland, you know. Like,
yeah
but it's worth a watch. And we've got John Bush from the Freedom Cells. He's been making his rounds on a bunch of podcasts lately, and they hit us up. So he's going to come on our show soon, and we're going to give him our critiques of the freedom movement. But I suggest everybody watch that doc. It's on HBO Max. It's pretty good. So
yeah, I'm gonna check it out for sure. And one of my big critiques, I can understand that critique of it. But my critique of like the freedom, like at the time it was kind of like the libertarianish party, because you know, like Ron Paul was like kind of like libertarian, the word, like for me in like 2006, 2007, really started having like a like I didn't really know what that was, you know what I mean? And it was after the Iraq War and 9/11 and that whole libertarian era, and then which kind of split into the Tea Party later, but like I kind of agreed with a lot of what they said, like, hey, man, don't leave me alone. You know what I mean? Cops don't need to be pulling me over for everything. Federal Reserve needs to be gone. Like, you know, taxes is stupid. Like, I was like, oh, need to declare war, all this stuff. So I was like, wow, man, I love what this guy's saying. Like, I agree fully. But later what I got tired of the freedom movement / like libertarianish people was they would defend corporations to the death as if that corporation represented capitalism. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Like, to me, capitalism is an entrepreneur. It's the guy that started a lawnmower service. Capitalism is what we're trying to do, build a podcast and try to make steady income, or being a farmer. That's capitalism. That's free market. You know what I mean? The other shit is crony capitalism, and people go, oh, they always scoff at that. I'm like, man, it's the truth, because government and corporations are in cahoots with each other, helping each other pass laws and give them strategies to get rich for the government employees and get rich for the corporations. Let's say win-win pact.
Yeah. And people always say, oh, it's private company, bro. But like, yes, these companies have started with government seed money, or like Walmart, they go into a community and get or Amazon and get like these massive tax breaks and all this stuff like that.
They're like, so intertwined with the state, intertwined, and that it makes it that it's the same entity. And that's where, you know, I was enamored by Ron Paul at that same time. I didn't realize I was a libertarian for a few years before that, after being a liberal. And then I would have called myself a conservative before I found Ron Paul. And then I started hearing this guy. It was just like, whoa. And I think that he understands what we're talking about, or at least he did. I don't pay too close attention. I know he still does the Liberty Report and all of that, but that's, I can't keep up with the news anymore. But he seems like that movement seemed to get that back then. But then people, I don't know, they kind of went out on their own with the whole libertarian thing. And before you know it, it's a little more like Ayn Rand kind of stuff, like where the corporations rule. And, you know, and it's like, well, we're getting to a point where we're talking about corporations ruling with an iron fist, guys. Yeah. Does this seem like the libertarian that we were all taken away by? And a lot of people, like you and I, sounds like we were around the same time of 2008.
Yeah.
But then a bunch more in 2012. When
I think they were co-opted though. I think like they got co-opted by the left and the right. Like you saw that, like there was a lot of these really conservative libertarians. And then there was these left-leaning libertarians, which I think that's why I keep saying, I'm hoping, cause I'm going to vote for, I don't really like, I only vote for third party. Don't vote for Democrat or Republican, but I would love to vote for Dave Smith. I think that bringing the Mises Caucus back, like that's like, to me, that's like, it gets me a little hyped up. Like you, I haven't been hyped up since Ron Paul. After Ron Paul, I didn't care about Bernie Sanders. I saw it through Bernie Sanders. Didn't care for Barack. Didn't care for Trump. Didn't care for Rom. You know what I mean? McCain. Like there was nobody. Like, well, what was it? Gary Johnson. Oh man.
Gary Johnson and Bill Weld.
And with Bill Weld of all fucking people.
It looked like the Saturday morning WWF like characters, you know, that would fight the warrior. Like, you know what I mean? It's Ted. And he's like,
yeah.
How's Dave Smith doing? I am not following him as closely as is he still putting his hat in the ring? Is he still moving forward?
Like you said, there's so much stuff to like. I try to keep up with everything, but that's why I love No Agenda, because
they
keep me up to date on stuff that like, and I'm always ahead of everything. You know what I mean? You listen to No Agenda, you're ahead of what's going on. It's like back in the days, Reddit. Remember Reddit used to be like, you're like, so on Reddit, and then 2 days later, it'd be on Facebook. But now, like, that's like how I got to keep up. But I don't know if he's going to be in the ring, but I do know that he's been really uniting with like Tom Woods and all them, like the Mises Caucus. Yeah. They're really trying to like light that fire to the Mises Caucus and take back the Libertarian Party, which would be cool. Like to at least see, even if we could see a 5%, like show me that it matters. You know what I mean? Show me that we can get a 5 to 10% vote at least, so we can give some hope to the people, where people will finally stop saying, oh man, I'm not going to vote for him because what's the point? And I'm like, if everybody didn't say that, and then it's like, man, and that's why I think presidents are selected, because I think that we're manipulated into a point of where we lean the way we want, they want us to.
He just, I think, like his goal, I think he's gonna run. I don't see who else they would put up at this point, because the Mises Caucus is running the Libertarian Party now. I think it's his goal is to get into a debate, into the debates, and have a Ron Paul, Rudy Giuliani movement moment. And moment, I think that if Dave Smith was on the debate stage, he would have 100 of those, man.
Yeah, he would do that constantly. That's why I would actually vote for him. I say all the time, like, I don't vote anymore. I've given up on that for the most part, occasionally for local stuff, but like presidential, like, I'm not voting. It's a joke to me. But if Dave Smith got in there, if that was something that other people were voting for, that mine would actually be counted and not just thrown away if I wrote in Dave Smith or whatever. Yeah. I'd vote for him. I love Dave Smith. I don't keep up with him anymore, but I've listened to hours and hours of Dave Smith, and he's like really helped me work through a lot of those libertarian problems, those anarcho-capitalist problems that, you know, like reading Rothbard and stuff, that can get you there, but you got to be able to digest it. And Dave Smith has digested a lot of that stuff, if not all of it. And thereby, when he can break stuff down and suddenly start telling it to you with a metaphor of basketball, it's a lot easier than hearing Rothbard's Barrels of Fish and Horses, and you know, where he gets really dry. Same with Mises and all of that kind of stuff. But Dave Smith, he's got an ability to bring people in, and even normies who aren't on our team at all sometimes will hear things that Dave Smith says, especially when he used to be on CNN from time to time, and what's her name's show,
Kennedy,
Kennedy. And all those, you know, like sometimes there would be people, you know, there are conservatives who sat there and had their minds totally changed by Dave Smith one night when they were watching him. Of course, they went back to their regular thoughts the next day. But I remember
he was on stage one time with like David Cross or something like that. And it was like some panel on free speech. And David Cross is a douchebag. And he shut him down super hard. And there was some like awful, like, dyed in blue Democrat lady, like old lady, that on the panel as well. And she's like sitting there and she goes, I don't even like that guy, but that he's right.
He's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Plus,
he's
really
a comedian.
Well.
he's a comedian, man. Like, you know what I mean? That's what he does, man. He knows how to adapt to crowds. I would love to see him against Biden and Trump and just like, oh my God, man, that would be, I'll pay. If we're going to, I'm like, if we're going to make it a show, let's make it a show, man.
Yeah. Oh my, imagine a debate between Joe Biden and Dave Smith. That's like a boxing match. I think Dave Smith and Trump would
be better though.
Yeah.
Oh my God, man. That would be like, Joe would be just like, you know, that's like
Joe would be when you fight
Glass Joe.
Yeah.
Punch out.
Yeah. Joe would fall over and just, it would be listening to Dave Smith for the duration of it.
Yeah.
Whereas Trump, Trump wouldn't take it. You know, Trump would spit it back. You know, he'd tell Dave that he has small hands or whatever, you know.
He'd come up with something like, I heard that she.
Yeah. I heard your baby almost died. What was that all about?
Yeah. You can't even have healthy babies. Yeah. Baby has no heart, just like him.
Every baby I have is super healthy. She had Obamacare, but then I got rid of it.
Yeah. The healthiest babies.
Well, what did you guys think of Dark Brandon? I don't think we've talked about that on the show yet.
Dark Brandon.
The recent Brandon fascist speech.
Oh, okay, I got you. The did you see what's trending on Twitter? The pedo Hitler.
Pedo Hitler. Yeah.
I was like, man, I fucking love the internet, man. Like sometimes I just wake up and like I'm like, it might be crazy, but man, there's some funny stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I just thought that was like, I thought it was ironic. I thought it was and then the next day or so Trump had another rally and he was just criticized. I feel like they're just really solidifying the sides, like they're really polarizing the crowds again, because everybody was kind of getting like in the middle, not caring, and now everybody's back to like, oh, Trump's the worst thing that's ever happened to the world, and the other people are like, it's Trump or we're all dead. You're like saying, like, you, either way you get Trump deranged syndrome, but one way or the other, sometimes it's they're deranged that anything he does means we're all gonna die, and then the other side is that they're deranged because they think that if he's not the president, we all die. So it's kind of a weird time to be alive sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes when I think about the upcoming, you know, the next presidential election, I think, God, I hope Trump doesn't run, just because they already hate him so fucking much. Like, how much more of just I mean, it doesn't matter what he says, you know, we've seen this. This will be a rerun of all of that shit. But then I think, well, so what? What am I hoping for? Like a DeSantis or something? It doesn't matter who. They're going to treat him like Trump, I think. I mean, I don't think we're going to get a Republican running who the left is going to accept anything they say. You know, it's just you're not on my side.
Do you think
stupid.
That the establishment left will try? Well, I mean, I guess they got to do primaries because they're not the incumbent. So who's going to be like the establishment Republic? Is Mitt Romney going to run?
Fuck. I can't see that.
Who's like the RNC guy? The non-MAGA Republican side?
I guess Ted Cruz. Like Ted Cruz is going to run, I would assume.
Ted Cruz, yeah. I could see him.
I could see him.
I could see Mitt Romney trying, but nobody wants Mitt Romney.
Maybe what's his name? And maybe Jordan.
Oh, but we got Miss Piggy. We got
Liz
Cheney.
Yeah. Man. No way. I don't see anything happening. And the thing that's crazy to me is I'm like, because like that's the arguments that are so weird to me nowadays. Because like I used to be on the side, and I'm like, hey, you know who her dad is, right? Like to all my liberal friends, and they're like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, like. Enough said. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Should be ending, but they're like, oh no, because she. I'm like, I don't get that shit. Like, I don't understand why people can't be like, yeah, Trump's. You could say Trump's a piece of shit, but then be like, yeah, also, so is Liz Cheney.
Like, if you want a reference for that kind of shit, just look when John McCain died, at all the liberals tweeting about what a great person was.
Dude, yeah,
it was like. Dude, I'm old enough to remember.
Yeah, I was alive.
That he was the devil.
My mom, lifelong, you know, boring Democrat, like voted for like Jesse Jackson in the 80s and Michael Dukakis and all that crap, you know, bleeding heart, not really like bleeding heart liberal, just voting Democrat. Like I go down to her house right when John McCain dies, and she's like talking to me about how great of an American he was, and like all this stuff like that. Like, No, he wasn't. He was a bad guy.
I was so blown away. In particular, I don't remember it verbatim at all, but AOC did like a series of tweets about what a great American John McCain was when he died. And it was just like, dude, if you guys are really falling for this, if you're really fucking falling for this, you're fucking done. And I was right. They did fall for it and they were done at that point. That's like when, I mean, they'd already lost credibility to me in so many ways, but at that point it's like, oh, so you guys aren't even going to try to get back to being anti-war. You guys are going to march forward as though you've always been the war party and that you've always supported these fucking people.
They have always been the war party though. They've always, like, every major war was like under a, under a Democrat. If you look back at it.
Well, I'm thinking mostly like my, yeah, like my the, coming the, of the, age the, and the base, politics the, was Bush era.
Yeah.
And
the base may have been anti-war, but the actual politicians never
up high. Yeah, for sure. But that's what I mean. The people falling. I expect AOC to tweet that because she's up there. But the fact that people still listen to her.
Yeah, but at least pretend. At least like it used to be like at least lie to me, right? Like they just tell you right in their face. Like they're not even like, you know, like I can pull up videos of you trashing this person and saying this and that. And you're like, I didn't say that. Like, have you ever seen
a debate?
Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie Role Models?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then remember when he goes in, he's talking to his lady and she's a lawyer and the dude's right there and he's on video and she's like, isn't that you stealing? He's like, that's not me. He's like, you're wearing the same shirt.
Man,
I mean, it's saying how people are, man. That's why I think Dave Smith would make it so exciting. Like I said, I think that he can actually take from both sides. I think that he can have arguments where he's like, aren't you guys tired of war? And people are like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I think the system is set up to destroy some people. Like he understands where people's heads are at. He knows where we want things to go and where he can get crowds from the left, the and the right, and this whole libertarian non-voting people that are just trying to be left alone crowd. I think he could ignite all of it if he really puts it up right. And I hope they do. I mean, I don't know when you really are supposed to start talking about presidents. Maybe they're just waiting because they don't want, you know, 2 years of where they're going to try to dig up dirt for 2 years. Maybe they're trying to wait close to last minute, you know, to make an announcement.
They go, I think they go right after the midterms, man. I think that's when it starts. I think that's when the whole charade starts for 2 years.
And then he's got Rogan, man. He's got the biggest. He's, I mean, say what we want about Rogan. We can all think like, I mean, I really was kind of not happy with Rogan on the Sam Tripoli episode. I thought that Sam did what he had to do. I get it. Like, I thought Sam did great, like holding in there. But I just thought Joe was just too hard on him. Like, he was like everything like, oh, let's check this. Or no, that's probably wrong. Like, you know what I mean? He was shutting him down on stuff. And
you're
he was
a
like,
conspiracy about, theorist. So I'm going to treat you like one.
Yeah, I didn't like that, man. He does the same thing to Alex Jones when he's on, but then he'll have.
But he was nicer to Alex Jones. He was kind of like I don't think he meant to be this, and obviously he can't see himself, so he probably. I know he's trying to protect his brand and protect everything, but the way it just like makes him seem like an arrogant prick, like you know what I mean. It makes him like where he's like, and he seems bought at that moment, whether he is or not. He seems that way because he's talking about fake meat, and I'm like, bro, don't you kill elk, bro? How are you going to be talking about we should eat fake meat? Yeah. Like, and then Sam's just bringing up shit and like, okay, you could be like, okay, let's find some facts on that. But the way he was saying it, again, that's how I took it. Maybe because I like Sam a lot. Like, I don't even know him, but I like his podcast. I like how he comes through and shit. You feel like when you listen to people on podcasts, you kind of know them and the direction that they were going. And I felt like he did the humble thing and just like let it go. Like, cause if that was me, I would have been pushing back a lot, but I get it. He probably looks up to Rogan. He's been around him a long time and, you know, he just did his thing and he still got out a lot of information. I just didn't like the way that Rogan was talking to him and just kind of pushed back on everything and didn't even like kind of come to an understanding. And then he was like, Operation High Jump. What's that?
I never heard of that.
Out of here, man. The fuck out of here, Rogan. Mm-hmm. Meet me in the ring, Rogan. Nah, just kidding, man. I seen that late kick, man.
Rogan's always had this problem. Not always necessarily, but he's had that problem for a long time. You know, it's he doesn't push back at the right places, and he pushes back at the wrong places. And it's like, I don't know. I like Rogan. Don't get me wrong. You know,
me too.
He's great at what he does. But I don't listen to him consistently.
And, I listen to him with Tim Dillon's on. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, you got
it. It is cool that he would back. Well, I don't know if he would back, but he's friends with Dave Smith, you know, because
I think he would back him.
I think so, too.
And, you know, Dave Smith has one thing going for him that no other politician has like ever had going for them. And that is that he's consistent. He's one consistent ass motherfucker who in a debate or off the debate stage as well, when the media comes at him, if they say you said this on this podcast at this time, whatever they say, you said this, he'll explain himself and actually explain himself, not sidestep it and say, yes, I may have said that about capitalism at this time, but now I believe, you know, he doesn't talk like a politician. He actually addresses things head on. And what he does say, whether he's right or wrong, I think he's right most of the time. He believes himself and he will back him. He will defend his own words. Like always, so it seems. And if he doesn't, he'll say, I changed my mind. This was my thought process on how I changed my mind.
Yes, I respect that a lot. Like, that's what I like to hear, because it happens to me all the time. I got some information that I didn't understand before. Either I didn't have the information, or it wasn't broken down to me, or didn't digest it the way I should have to really absorb what it meant. And then someone broke it down to me where I understood it. And I'm like, oh, I'm totally wrong. Like, it's okay to be wrong.
Absolutely.
Like, I think that people really kind of have more respect for you when you can show that you've been wrong and be like, yeah, I improved my thought. And I think he could play off that, but I think they would attack him, but I think it would be hard, because especially if it was like Trump and like, you know, Biden, like, man, I just think he could have a field day on them. And I think that he could really pull people from both sides. I think now is the time. You know what I mean? Now would be the time where people don't want Biden and they don't want Trump. Like, people that are voting for Trump, yeah, there's those people that are fanatic of Trump. But really, if you give them another option, you'll still have that. Most of those people that voted for him would go for Dave Smith if they really gave him a chance and he got to speak and really shut down and talk how he really talks, not like this fake wrestling what Trump did, where he's like, oh, we're shutting them down, man, we're going in there, I'm gonna punch Nancy Pelosi in the face and blah, 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 blah. You're like, come on, man. And so of course, yeah, even I was like, ah, that's pretty cool, I would like to see that, but like, you know what I mean? Like, and you knew he was full of shit. Like, I knew he was full of shit right away, man. I was just like, dude, I never liked him personally for a long time. Seen documentaries way before. I didn't like The Apprentice. Didn't, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I heard and read about, and people are like, oh, that's fake news. I'm like, dude, this was before they were acting. This is when the media loved him. And you know what I mean? He was adored by the media and everywhere. And I saw
adored
some
by the
stuff.
Left.
Elites. Hillary,
or is that, what's her
Chelsea.
Name? Chelsea's wedding, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I'm saying they're all chummy chums. So like, now I'm supposed to believe that. Oh, and then, and I always, the thing that gets me is I'm like, okay, so supposedly he's this guy that's like, oh, I'm all about America, I'm gonna fix everything. I'm like, wait, but he waited until he was in his like in mid 70s, early 70s, and he's like, now I'm gonna go, but I'm still gonna play the game. So same thing with, that's what I would argue about Bernie. I'm like, so Bernie's in his 70s and he's like, yeah, I want to rip the system down, but we're gonna play with inside the game. And you're like, well, then what the fuck are you doing, man? You're already old. Like, if you're going to do that, sacrifice yourself, because you shouldn't be running again. You should be just going, hey, I'm going to expose everything, throw it all out there, do my best to try to crash this shit and try to, you know, really help with unification of this country and get, you know, end the wars and the crony capitalism. But they don't want to, because they want to still get their payday. And I'm like, you can tell when someone's in their 70s and they're not willing to say the stuff that they should be saying. They're still playing the game and go, oh, you know, like, da da da. Nancy Pelosi supposedly hated Trump, passed all his legislation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She didn't even stop it.
Who would you rather see naked? Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton?
Oh, Nancy Pelosi all day, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's easy one. Nancy Pelosi there. I was ready to say whoever the next person is, but
you got yeah, you went real low on that one.
Yeah.
Do you remember I think like the biggest burn of like the last presidential debates was when Bloomberg said, only in America can the most famous socialist be a millionaire and own three houses or something like that. That was awesome. Bloomberg's a real piece of shit, but that was and he said it in his little effeminate Jewish voice, but that was fantastic when he said that to Bernie Sanders, man.
I like when Trump was saying about Bloomberg, though. Remember, he was like, he's like, he's short. He needs to have a booster. He comes over here. I don't know why that, when he was saying that, it would crack me up. Sometimes Trump would say so, but now, like, I feel like he's like a one-hit wonder comedian. Like, he came out there hot. Like, he, man, that one special was dope. And then now, like, his new specials suck.
Yeah.
You're like, he's using the same jokes. You know, it's like, and I don't know. He's got to step
like,
the
he's
act
like
up.
He's like Jay Leno. He hasn't written new material in, like, 40 years.
He's rewriting the same material over and over again.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's take a hard left. So you were recently, you're friends with Tony Merkel, right?
Yeah, well, I just recently met him. Went out to Tennessee and did a little podcast with him and got to actually meet him. Like, we were texting back and forth. You know, I met him through my co-host, Joel. And then I actually got to meet him. Great guy, man.
Did you go out and do some cryptid hunting with him?
No, I don't do that part. That's their job. I just stick to the, like, hey, let's go to the, if they have like a release, you know what I mean? Like a release where we're in like a party or something. I'll go to that. I'm not big on going into the like forest and shit. Like, if I needed to help them, I'll be there, but I'm like not going to volunteer. You know what I mean? Like, that's their thing. Like, they got their crew. They're good.
Yeah. Right on. What's the cryptid situation in Michigan?
Here we got, like, you know, Bigfoot's prevalent, and then Dogman, of course, like Dogman and then, you know, Mothman. But like, we're going to actually go on Saturday. I'm going to be at Bigfoot and Brews. I forgot the city name, but at this. Dang, man, I can't think of the city, but Bigfoot and Brews, just look it up online. But it's probably be over by the time this comes out, because it's going to be a Saturday. I don't know what time to release it. But either way, we're going to go to a little conference. Who else is going to be there? I forgot some of that. There's going to be guest speakers, though. And
it's in Michigan.
Yeah, it's in Michigan. I cannot say the name. It's like Dowg. I'm never going to say it, man. I've been trying to say it for like 3 weeks, man.
Right on. Yeah, I like doing cryptid stuff. Chad and I both live in Pacific Northwest. I'm in Oregon. He's in Washington, and I don't know. I think Bigfoot is here on my property. I hear him sometimes if I wake up real, real early in the morning. I hear like whooping sounds and knocking noises all over the place. But So what else you guys got? What do you want to get into?
Well, yeah, like I would say that, like, with cryptids wise, like, to go back to that real quick, I think that there's a lot more than people think about it. You know what I mean? There's like, we talk about like portals, like, you know, and like, is there physical like creatures? Sure. Like, I'm not saying that there aren't physical creatures. Are they from labs? We don't know. But I think there's a lot to talk about when you talk about portals and CERN and like all these hydro colliders that are like are active. Like, and that's where like the conspiracy side of me like starts thinking about like, what is going on? And like, is there a spiritual war? Because there's so many different angles we could take. Like, we could take the political stance where we're talking about like what could happen if politics is real and we could actually have a way, you know, through voting. You know, that's what we just discussed about like Dave Smith and stuff. But I think there's also the other aspects of where you're talking about like cryptids and like CERN and portals and what's really going on. Is there somebody trying to recreate something? Is there somebody trying to resurrect armies? Is there somebody trying to build something, or is it just experiments? You know what I mean? Like, that's like, there's all these gray areas because we aren't filled in with the information. Nobody actually tells us, like 9/11. Why do people believe so many crazy wild theories? Because nobody's actually breaking it down to them in a way they can digest. Like, they're just like, dude, that's no way that could happen. And then when you get this bullshit commission report. So I think all these things, whether it's Bigfoot, Mothman, you know what I mean? Any name in the cryptid, I think it has to do a lot with these colliders and I think portals. And there's a lot of sightings, just talking to like Tony and talking to other people. Any of these, because there's a lot of hydro colliders, you know, CERN is just the biggest one. There's one in Pennsylvania. There's one in Tennessee. There's one, I think, Houston. And there's one, a couple others, you know what I mean? Like, you could look it up on Google, I believe. I forgot the website. But
is there one? There's a lot of activity. Is there one in Montauk also?
Like, I think so.
Yeah. That's a Stranger Things one.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, what is it? Like, and I think that they are trying to, like, because to me, this is how I go on it. I believe they were always, like, trying to this whole, you know, World War II, Nazis, Cold War, the Russians, the Germans, the U.S., even, like, Japan to an extent. Obviously, China wasn't as far ahead as they are now. I think they're doing that now. But we're trying new weapons and trying to build new armies and trying to experiment. There was tons of documented experiments that have happened. So why... What about the ones we haven't heard about? You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's already been released, you know, about like what happened with that Stranger Things and how it was written. That, like, are these things really happening? What are they doing? I think they would do it for a nefarious reason, but the nefarious reason is to build some kind of resistance, some kind of weapon, because man's like ultimate downfall is like a lot of people, humans want to be powerful and they can consider like weapons making you powerful and making you more dangerous instead of seeing the real power, which is unification, unifying with people and giving volunteering your time to help others and to make. And then, you know, it goes back and forth. But, you know, that whole pissing contest is still like embedded in us since the beginning of time, it seems.
Have you guys heard about what's going on with the Euphrates River?
I was hearing a little bit about that. Yeah.
I heard actually Tony talked about it a little bit the other day. This guy I go to church with sent me a video of it. I go to Russian Orthodox Church, man. And it's crazy. Like, I got in there's like a men's Telegram chat group for the church, and it's all conspiracies, man. It's everything from like flat earth to cryptids and like Nephilims and all sorts of crazy stuff, man. It's awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. But Chud, have you heard anything about this?
No, I haven't. It seems like I saw it written somewhere, but I didn't follow through on it at all. So what do we got?
I haven't looked that much into it. Guy Church told me about it again, and then he sent me the Tony Merkel video on it. But so the Euphrates River, which is in the Fertile Crescent, Iraq, you know, all that area, is going dry. And I think in Revelations, there's the story that there's demons or fallen angels in cells underneath the Euphrates.
Okay.
And in Revelations, it says that it will go dry at some point and those cells will be unlocked and those demons will be unleashed upon the world.
Okay.
And it's going dry. They found caves and stuff underneath it, and apparently Clyde Lewis did a show on it too. There's like people have gone down and got like video or audio recordings of like strange stuff down there.
Whoa.
Yeah,
well, this is interesting. I did see I think it was in Spain, there's a reservoir that's drying up.
Yeah.
And it's revealed some ancient stones. And one of those supposedly says that if you can read this, you fucked. that like the end times are coming. And that had been there for however long. And it's now being exposed and nobody knew what was there, kind of a thing. And so everyone saw it. And I think it took a little while to translate whatever it said. And it was like a prophecy of doom. Based on the water level. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And Iraq is like really popping off right now. Their president, something, there's some kind of disagreement with what's going on in their government. I think like their government set up like where they vote a certain amount in and the guy has to pick his cabinet. You know what I mean? He built his government. They're not allowing him to. But yeah, they're at war, like not war, but there's like, you know, breaking shit. They did the Sri Lanka thing. You know, they were jumping in the presidential pool. Like, you know what I mean? Everybody was taking a dip in the pool. Like Sri Lanka collapsed. You know what I remember? Everybody was in those pools.
Yeah. Everybody always goes in the pool.
That's the new thing, man. That's the calling card. But
remember when the Taliban was like trying to figure out how to ride like an exercise bike and stuff?
Oh, the bumper cars was my favorite.
Yeah.
The bumper cars is awesome.
Dude, those videos were so fantastic. How could you not like love the Taliban after watching those videos?
Yeah, I was like, I'll hang out with those guys. Yeah. I'll definitely drink with those guys, man. Those look like good guys.
Yeah, greatest comeback story in the history of the world after, you know, we need to get like the guy that made the movie Rudy to like do a Taliban movie or something like that. Give it like the underdog movie, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. That would, yeah, the Rudy Taliban. That was hilarious, man. When I saw that, that cracked me up. But I think there is like, that could be a tell sign, you know, like you said, like, and Arrakis has this like real like turmoil right now, but there's turmoil around in the whole world. But I'm not saying that I don't believe in stuff like that, because I do believe like there can be a possibility of anything. But I also think that a lot of this like stuff that's going on in the world has to do with like our own energy, right? So too many of us are watching TV or finding somebody, like whether it's a TV, a podcast, a Twitter account, whatever it may be, and they're kind of feeding you what the world looks like instead of you creating that yourself. And then someone's like, yeah, it's shitty, and then everybody's like, yeah, it's shit, and they're putting that energy out there. And I think that's some of the problem we have. It's great to have the technology. I love the technology, helps me out, and luckily for me, I can watch mostly anything, like, unless you start doing with like a kid or something. I mean, like, as soon as you say, I'm like, yeah, like, you know what I mean, some like pedo, like, but I mean, that shit, how everybody should be. But everything else, you're kind of like, hey man, the shit they say on the news is most of the time bullshit. Like, they're lying to me one way or the other. It doesn't matter if it's Fox or CNN, any station, and even like these Newsmaxes and stuff. You got to remember, they're a corporation just like anything. Yeah,
they're bad, man. OAN, all that stuff's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild, man. Because, you know, I live out in the middle of nowhere. Chad's pretty far out there too. I'm a little more rural than him, I think. But sure. A lot of times, I'm just out here like working all day on the farm. It takes me half an hour to get to town to go to grocery outlet. That's like the only thing close to me, man. And, dude, it's, my mental health is fantastic. I mean, sometimes I get up in my own head 'cause I'm by myself so much,
sure.
But like, it's like, in my opinion, we're going to come out on top. I think we're going to win. And I'll do, Chud and I can do a little cool celebrity, conspiracy celebrity name drop here. Monica Perez came to both of our homesteads a couple weeks ago. Ooh. She went up and stayed at his house and then came down to my house and hung out. And she is like one of my favorite, you know, people in this whole sphere. She's like so smart.
Yeah, she's so smart and she's well-researched. I love Monica Perez. Like, she has so much awesome. Good shit.
She was here with her son, and we were getting into it with our buddy Nate from the Reality Czars. He was up at my house too. We were making some tacos. It's the first good Mexican food I've eaten since I moved to Oregon 4 years ago. And she was saying, like, I don't see any way how we win, how we come out on top. And Nate and I were like, we're winning right now. Like, it was so crazy. But the difference is, we live out in the middle of nowhere, and she lives in LA, you know, and she's just inundated with it nonstop. You know, if you live in LA, you think like there's no hope. If you live in the woods, you know,
if you live in LA, you might actually be losing.
Yeah.
You know, you probably are, to be blunt and honest with that. You know, she, not that she is losing, but people that she's around are she's losing people all around her all the time. She already lost most of them, and there's probably more falling off all the time. Whereas people like in our positions, we see more people coming in. We see people one by one, they're leaving the LAs of the world and they're coming out here, or maybe they're not even leaving. Maybe they're already out here and they're realizing like, oh no, I need to create food security for myself and not just focus on that 9-to-5 that I've been focusing on. It's happening constantly. I just had a conversation with a neighbor today who lives out here, has never considered themselves a homesteader, but they're like, they're asking me questions about if they wanted to start doing a garden next year, what direction they would need to take. And I'm happy to talk all day about that. But it's interesting because they made it all the way to September of 2022, and suddenly they go, you know, maybe I should start taking my food source into my own hands for the first time in their life. That's not happening to people in LA. If that's happening to anybody in LA, they're getting the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the whole problem with California. Cause like I got tons of friends in California and not all of them even like are in conspiracy stuff, right? Just in general, like the attitude in general is just miserable. Like most people, unless you're like one of those Hollywood people that can like, you know, afford every single, like pretty much everybody's miserable. You got to, most people have to work two jobs or you got to work a job that you're working 12 to 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. You know what I mean?
And then you go sit in traffic on the 10 yeah. too, you know?
Like, yeah. It's just not worth it for people. And then it's just so expensive. And then, like you said, the way it's set up in a lot of places, especially like LA, you have to be dependent on the system. Like, you know what I mean? How it was built. Like, you're not going to get around a lot of that shit. And you got to go out as far as you can. Cause the more of us that do, I'm not in rural, but I'm in Michigan. To us, that was a whole different, like I moved out here 5-6 years ago. My yeah. family moved out here like 10 years ago or more. And, we're kind of ahead of the curve. You know, a lot of people like were already leaving Cali at that time, going to Texas and Utah. And we ended up coming here, but what's it called? Like it was already too expensive. So being that expensive that people are stressed all the time. So people are on edge and you're not sure if, and that just makes a bad for your psyche, you know, cause you're constantly on edge, like worrying, like, am I going to be able to pay this bill? Am I going to be able to keep this light on? Am I going to be keep this phone on? Like actually phones were like, what? Like, man, a lot of people in Cali, I know like we had different phone numbers all the time. Cause we're like, I didn't pay my bill. And then if you were Metro PCS, you know, you don't go for 2 months and they give you a new
Getro,
number.
Getro, man. Getro PCS. Yeah. It's, you know, I moved up here from, I lived in San Francisco. I'm from, you know, I spent 25 years in the Bay Area. I was born up here, but then came back and, it's, there's like a thick, once you get away from there and go back, you can feel this thick tension in the air nonstop. And I remember I went down to LA, you know, after living in the suburbs of Oregon, not even like out here where I am now, but just in the suburbs. And man, I remember I got to the LAX and I got to the, you know, budget rent a car wherever I was trying to get a car. And just, it sounded like Las Vegas, just like, there's just like beeps and boops and like everything moving around and doing all this crazy stuff. And it's just like, it's so much to take in and try to deal with, man. And yeah, I'm glad you got out of that area. You're from the Inland Empire, right?
Yeah, I'm from the Inland Empire. So like, it was like a desert, you know what I mean? It was like hot all the time. Like, I mean, yeah. But like I said, like you can make anywhere good. Like if you, the only real problem was this, that it was to a point where I looked at it like, there's no way I'm ever going to buy a house out here. Like literally yeah. like rent was like, and this was 5-6 years ago and it's way worse now.
Yeah. You know, where we lived in
that's Oakland, even worse.
Oakland and San Francisco. And it's like, I was, you know, in my 30s, if anybody that was my age had a house, you're like, oh, your parents bought you a house. Like, that's like the immediately what you thought. And I had a really, really good job. Like, I was an elevator mechanic in the Elevator Constructors Union. And, you know, that's the highest paid union trade that you can be in. And I was like, I'm never going to own a house unless I go someplace and have to drive 2 hours in the morning to go to work. And so I got out of there. I went up and bought a house like right outside of Portland. And now I live out in the middle of the woods and don't have a job and live on 15 acres, you know? So, I mean, it can be done, guys. You just gotta like, it might not be like where you want to live. It may be a little bit farther away from your family or something, but I mean, at some point you gotta like realize like, this place, it isn't for me anymore, you know? And that's what I did. I was sitting there in Oakland in 2018.
I think it does make it hard with the family thing though. Like yeah. I could see that for sure. Like that's what helped me to come over here easier. Cause I'm like, oh, I have family out there already. Like my real yeah. family's out there. So like, it makes it easier. I think it's harder. Like, you know, you have connections with people. I do understand why people stay, but I'm agreeing with you. Like I wish people could like kind of like come to an agreement and be like, hey, look, shit's kind of, if we all just kind of like sold our houses and we could go get 100 acres, you know what I mean, and have yeah. our own land. But it's just that everybody wants that instant. Like, nah, man, I, like you said, you move one place first until you went to your more final destination. You know what I mean? And people don't want that. They're like, oh, my next one has to be my final. And like, don't think like that. Like, I even tell my jobs, I've been telling jobs this for like the last 10, 15 years. People go, oh, man. I go, hey, man, don't worry about me. I'm just passing through, bro. I'm just passing through. I'm going to figure out something. I don't know what it is yet. There's a lot of ideas I have, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to work for someone forever. Right now, I'm just passing through. Leave me alone. You do your thing. I don't really care. You can be here your whole life if you want to. I don't want to be here my whole life. I'm just using this to get money to go to do something else that I want. And I think if people had that mentality, it doesn't mean like jobs aren't important. Like if like right now I have the benefit because my daughter's older, right? My daughter's about to be 20. And I don't have to worry about now. I'm like, okay, I could do it. I don't have to work at a shitty job. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to go that extra route and try to get more money because she's good. She's, you know, like I can help her. She needs help, but I have the freedom because I don't have any little kids or anything. So I'm like, man, I'm just going to do what I can do without trying to be stuck in a box and try to show people that you can do it too. And I think if we can all show little pieces of like, hey, I built land. Hey, I started this. I made this. Now I grew this into that. Like, you know, whether it's like a podcast, a plant, like, you know what I mean? Anything, just showing people like, hey, you could do it too, bro. I if I can do it, you can do it. And I think that's the point. I think everything we're doing is slowly. And like you said, people though that are in invested, like, or stuck around a lot of people that are sucking energy from them, or they're seeing everybody miserable. They see no hope. We see the hope, right? Like we've seen like that. We don't have that stress on top of us with the layer and then trying to, we're kind of been at peace. And like you were saying, like, you know, you've had a lot of times with yourself. So sometimes you get in your head, but at the same time, you've probably been able to develop where you're like, hey, I'm tripping. Like, you know what I'm saying? You've been able to be more one with yourself where you're understanding like, I'm really getting too caught up into this. I need to stop. You know what I mean? You're not letting it become self-destructive. So we just got to learn ourselves, but it's not an easy sell, you know, because everybody's been stuck on everything we've had. And we're so used to this and our family lives here. And what am I going to do? It's scary. And I think that's the hard part. And I think once you do it, you'll be all right. It's just making that jump. You know, it's like skydiving. I never done it, but I know, I'll tell you this, when I go skydiving, I'm just going to jump because there's nothing else I could do, right? Like, I'm already up there. They're not going to take me down. And plus, you don't want to be the guy that gets taken.
Yeah. I did it one time. It was pretty fun. I saw this this great meme, and it's a picture of it's the Titanic, and it says California on it. And then it's got the picture of the band that's, or the guys playing like the violins and stuff that's sunk with the ship, but it's the faces of Sam Tripoli, Eddie Bravo, and Greg Carlwood. it's pretty rad.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that other one. There's a new one where like it's the Titanic, and they're like, what's the difference between the Titanic and California sinking? They're like,
yeah, the Titanic had the lights on. yeah, that's a thing to think about, man. It's like, yeah, my in-laws were here last week, and my father-in-law is just reading, you know, the mainstream headlines, and he's talking about this massive heat wave in California and stuff, and how they're gonna have rolling blackouts, which you point out has been a thing for a long time in California. Yeah. But it was funny because he's like, massive heat waves about to hit California. And I was like, oh yeah, what's it going to be in Marin County where you live next week? And he's like, oh, let me check. And he's like, 72, 81, 75. I'm like, yeah, sounds pretty normal to me. But I'm like, so how do you think that if they can't let anybody have their air conditioning on, they're going to charge 30 million electric cars, you know, like, but
like it doesn't make any sense. But how convenient too though, right? That now all of a sudden, not saying that we do know that like a lot of the grids are shitty, like, you know, like a lot of stuff hasn't been taken care of over the years, but how convenient that when you really want to push this new energy onto people, that the old energy just doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's that whole where they push people into something that they didn't necessarily want. Like they don't want that. Like, it's not that people don't want electric cars. It's just like, hey, we should build into that. I think electric cars could be a great thing. Like, I'm not even against electric cars. I'm just saying the way you're trying to do it is stupid. Like, you're being retarded.
Yeah. They're doing this thing where like, they're making me defend Trump. They're making me hate electric cars, you know, right. like,
yeah.
You know, I maybe half my stuff could be electric, and you know, just give me the option. You know, like let me figure it out. If
not even just the option, gas combustion engine, it ain't that great. Like in the long run of things, you know, it's a pretty shitty way to have to fucking get around. You know, you want to talk about something that breaks down and it gets dirty and it's like it's by design, like needs like all this constant maintenance and stuff. I mean, I think there was a conspiracy way back when to bring the motor vehicle in as it is, when there were a lot of competitors out there, but they all got smashed down. And, you know, we end up with this, and then we get up to where it's like, oh, hey, let's talk about doing something different. And we end up having to be like, oh, no, this sucks. Because I don't know. You know, it's as you guys are talking to, it's making me think of like all the smart appliances. Mm-hmm. And the cars are going to be smart too, right? As we're talking electric cars, but we're talking air conditioning as well. Like if everyone's got a smart air conditioner that you can, oh, I'm going to go home and I'm going to be home in a half hour. So I'm going to turn on my air conditioner now from my palm of my hand. Well, you're not the only person who can do that. And if they decide that the cars are more important than the air conditioner, then your air conditioner is not going to work.
Well, did you hear about what Sean just covered it on his most recent shows? What they did in Colorado recently?
No,
people bought, like, probably didn't read the fine print. They offered them some cash incentive deal when they signed with the power company, whatever the Colorado utility company is, and they got a smart thermostat installed on their house. Uh-huh. They got up to the, you know, hot temperatures in the 90s and they couldn't turn on their AC. The people that signed up for that program. That's
exactly what I'm talking about.
And they said, normally they can override it. And this time they couldn't override it. And I'll tell you what, I just got a brand new HVAC system installed in my house 2 weeks ago. And the guy said, you want the smart thermostat, or you want the old Honeywell?
Or you want the stupid
analog thermostat? And Emily's sitting there asking him about what's the benefits, and I just yelled. I was laying in my bed at the time, and I just yelled, "No smart appliances!" So we got the normal one, man. But
my brother, he's a HVAC tech, and he was saying that he said he doesn't worry about it for him because he just like hooks it up different. I forgot what he was saying, like how you ground it, like they can't like take the energy, like they can't get the data back and forth. He was like, but he puts it in. So I was like, yeah, well, you put yours in, bitch. Like, I have to get somebody else that puts it in. They're not going to do that for me. They're not going to be like,
yeah. And they didn't tell those people, hey, when it gets up to 95 degrees, you can't have air conditioning, and we'll give you $100 off your bill every couple of months.
Course not.
Like that's not what they said, you know? And
It's all fucked. I helped my dad he got a new, smart refrigerator, and I helped him put it in. And I was like, I don't care about the smart aspect, whatever. They didn't previously have water line hooked up to it. It's got the water and ice maker in there. So I put in a water line and I got it all set up. And, you know, I've done this enough times that, you know, I know it's set up, but the motherfucker just would not make ice. Like it would take the water in, but it wasn't like dropping into the thing, and just nothing worked. I could not figure it out. Of course, there's no instructions anymore. It's just scan a little thing. And eventually he said, well, let me try hooking up the Wi-Fi. And I was like, what the fuck would that have to do with making ice? He hooked up the Wi-Fi and the first tray of ice dropped.
Oh God.
So, and then, and I started questioning him like, well, what's the point of this? He said, oh, your mom loves it because it's got a camera inside. So when she's at the store, she's going to be able to pick up her phone and look in there and see what's in there. Do I need milk? She'll be able to see how full the milk is, which is retarded on its own. You know, what if the milk's behind something, all that kind of stuff. It's not as great as they think it is. But at the same time, I'm going, well, who else in the future? I'm not saying it's happening now, although maybe it is, because things like what I was just saying are happening in Colorado, it seems. What if we're concerned about people's diet and we say that you already have too much milk and you don't need more milk, and then you go to swipe your card or use your smartphone to pay and it says, no, you're good. We know you fat fuck. You've got enough of your milk fat this week. You know, like, you can't buy those donuts. We can see inside your refrigerator. When are we going to have smart cupboards where all the cupboards are saying, showing you what's inside as well? And when I say you, I mean showing whoever has access to that.
And they will already have access to, from like with the whole ESG shit, with connecting with all the banks, we're having all the data from your card. Hey, he goes to Walmart 2 times a week. He goes to Meijer, Target. You know what I mean? You'll know exactly what store you go to, what you buy, and then they'll be able to control it completely, like you said. And like that will affect your ESG score. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're kind of getting a little bit much on the sweets, or you're not eating enough vegetables. To combined with what you're saying online, you kind of called that person fat, or you called that person a name. So it's this whole push for like the ESG stuff, I think, is like is what all this leads to, right? That's the data. They're collecting data, like you said, from the refrigerator, from the thermostat, from the car. They want to know exactly how many miles you drive so they can tax you on all this stuff, so that they can find way, because data is the new gold. You know what I mean? Data is the oil. Like, that is really what they're looking for. These technocrats have been dreaming for these days for years. Now, all the data they can use to not only sell you things, but to get you stuck in places. You know what I mean? Like, they can find everything about you that's good, bad, and ugly just by all your purchases. And they've already had a lot of that power just by once we went to cards. You know what I mean? And now it's even worse, like where they're trying to make it to where they want that digital identity with your digital currency, so that they know, is this the same person? You know,
it was a long ass time ago. I was still a kid. It would have been like 95, and our local grocery store chain started a thing that had it was Hagen was the brand. It was a small chain. It's a little bigger now, but they started having the Hagen card. And everyone was stoked about it. People, just my little town, everyone's talking about it. You get your Hagen card, because you get your Hagen card and you swipe it at the end, and then you'll get discounts on certain things. And there'd be like little signs throughout the store. Yeah, it was like a club card kind of thing. But it was a new concept to at least my town, and it was to me.
Sure. Well, even at that time, cool. I think in general, that was new.
When I talked to this guy who was kind of crazy and drunk and hanging out, and the guy yelled at cars passing by, kind of a dude. And he said something to me about those cards are going to control your life. And I was like, oh, you're full of shit, man. Like, why? Cause I'm getting discounts. Like, I thought I laughed at the guy. I made fun of him. I probably stole a beer from him or whatever. He was crazy to me.
Classic drunk conspiracy theorist. You got the classic. That's a classic right there.
Well, it's similar too. Lanny, my wife's mom, she has something that she told Lanny when Lanny was young that she'd learned way back in the 70s. And I've asked her a million ways and she can't remember what the fuck she had been talking about. But she said in the 70s, there were people who believed that the pound sign on the phone was going to like control us in some way or another in the future. And they didn't want, because this was as like the digital phones starting to come out. And there were like people who didn't want that pound sign on the phone because of something, but I can't quite get out of her. She doesn't really remember, you know, she was smoking weed back in the 70s or whatever. Sure. But she's like, yeah, there was something about that. I don't know. But she told Lanny when Lanny was young, and she still remembered. And now Lanny remembers that these years later. And it's just kind of, and because you look at it, it's like, well, there's a hashtag came up, you know, hashtagging on everything. And it's just kind of, I don't know. Like, who was saying that and about what that long ago? We're talking like 50 years ago, someone was saying that. And then you get all the way up to hashtag me too.
Pound me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, pound me too. Oh yeah,
me that. Too. Man.
That's the Owen Benjamin. Guys, I gotta get out of here and go cook dinner. Sean, you want to tell everybody how to support you?
Yeah, just go to the pages. Operation Kill the Mockingbirds, or if you want to check out the music, go to Sean Chris Music. That's all on Instagram. You can go on any platform, you know, to find Kill the Mockingbirds, and definitely try a podcasting 2.0 app, man. That's what I tell everybody, because we will get nuked from there eventually.
Are you up? Are you on Podverse and all that stuff?
Yeah, because I do everything from the RSS feed, so I'm all up on that.
Yeah, I just I'm on it. I just installed it the other day and started using it finally. And yeah, guys, get on 2.0. I think I'm on all that stuff. I don't know, really understand how it works too well, but yeah. And this has been a fantastic chat, dude. Hey, do you know a lot about? You're a hip hop guy. I didn't even get into that with people. Do you know a lot about hip hop conspiracies?
A little bit, yeah. We were actually posting one, and I don't know if you guys seen what about, you know, who Pat Stay is. Pat Stay, there's a little thing going about him. Pat Stay, the battle rapper from Nova Scotia, Canada, that got stabbed to death the other night.
No, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah. He got stabbed to death, and then there's a little bit of controversy for that.
Hotbed of Nova Scotia.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but he's one of the illest battlers, man. He's one of the illest battlers. But he had just dropped a diss on Game 2 days before, and then Game and them are trying to insinuate that they got him hit or something, but I don't know. But they, one of my friends on IG, he does all that, what's it called, that Gematria, and he got some good ones, man. So I would say go look into that Pat Stay stuff.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah, at some point in that Anarchapulco documentary, they show that Jeff Berwick was one of the most popular rappers in Canada at one point. So, you know. But so we got Kill the Mockingbirds on all the socials, all that stuff, and on same thing under on YouTube and all that.
Yes, sir. Kill the Mockingbird and Sean Chris for all the music.
Fantastic, man. Right, we appreciate it.
Sean, it's been a pleasure meeting you. This is great conversation. Love to do it again sometime.
Yeah. Likewise, man, for sure. Loved it.
Cool, man. Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks y'all for listening. Peace and we'll be back soon. Late.
Peace.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots, playing God all day, deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that 7-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.